Hello. Thank you so much for being here to learn about Bitachon to help me work on my Midos. And today is the 6th of Iyar, May 14th, and we're at Vod number 96, Baruch Hashem, Bnei Ayin Hara. Thank you again to Mr. Jake Wyman and Mr. Mitch Green for everything and all those, the donors and the participants. And a question occurred to me on something we had learned in former weeks. I just want to wrap that up before we continue in the Archos Tzadikim. We had learned that it says in Mishlei, Perek Tzadikim, Ashrei Adam Mefached Tamid. Fortunate or happy is a person who's constantly afraid. And I said to myself, that seems to be a contradiction. How could one be anxious and afraid and happy at the same time? They seem to be mutually exclusive. Well, we already covered this. First of all, the genesis of the entire project was the pasuk in Parshas Shoftim, where we're told, "Lo sira mehem, don't be afraid from the enemy army." And as Rabbeinu Yonah applied it to all types of anxiety and worry that a person has of hardships and challenges that might be coming his way, and therefore we learned that the Torah not only says you don't need to be afraid, but you're not allowed to be afraid, literally not allowed to. And as Rav Yechezkel Sarna, the Chevron Yosh Yeshiva, in his Pirush on Mesilas Yesharim, articulated it, it is a los ba'aseh, it's a real negative commandment, which I use this as a chizuk many times. When things come up that could cause anxiety, I say to myself, it's not optional. I'm not allowed to be afraid. Now, of course, it pops back. And snaps back. That's how anxiety is. We learn that the Yetzer Hara comes each day. But each time I go ahead and say, I'm not allowed to be afraid. We learned that the person who's mefache tamid is happy though. But I thought we just said you're not allowed to be afraid. And the Pustik in Mishlei says that you are fortunate if you're afraid. But we already know from that Gemara in Brachos, Daf Samach Amud Aleph, and we did spend time on it. Hahubit divrei Torah k'siv. That's all about words of Torah. So what's going on here? That there is a type of fear which is gainful and it's advantageous for us to have, and that's regarding Torah. And as Rashi explains in the Gemara Brachos, Samach Amud Aleph, he is mafaseh tamid. The person is always anxious. Shema tishtochach mimenu. Perhaps the person will forget his or her learning. Shemitochach humachzir l'shanosam tamid. That he constantly goes back and reviews them. I said to myself, this really makes a lot of sense because the Torah is not telling you, you have to eliminate and uproot the emotion of fear totally. You're not allowed to be apprehensive and worrisome at all. It is not telling us that. What is the Torah telling you? Even though it says Lo Sira Mehem in Parshas Shoftim about the battlefield and the battlefield of life and the opposition that we meet from people who don't approve of us, even if we're doing the right thing and we're doing the best that we can. That opposition that we're not supposed to be afraid of, that's the milchama. Those are the battles, the daily battles of life. Those are the internal severe storms of emotion that we experience and conflicts that we have sometimes that are unavoidable. Don't be afraid of them, it says. That's what you shouldn't be afraid of. But that doesn't mean that you have to go ahead and obliterate the emotion of fear. That's not humanly possible. Instead, channel it in the right direction. The Torah is saying you have an outlet. You can fill yourself with a proper, advantageous type of fear, something that's beneficial. That has to do with Torah. If my fear has to do with Torah, the raw, simplest meaning is I'm concerned that I'll forget my learning. Therefore, I'm preoccupied with learning and reviewing and learning new Torah. That's the simplest rendition of that Gemara Brachos. The Rebbe told his Talmud there. But it really can expand to other parts of our lives as well that have to do with Torah. When it comes to Ruchnius, so yes, I have this innate fear. I'm born with anxiety, but I can channel it. I can direct it, redirect it toward, let's say it has to do with chesed. I'm concerned that if I don't do this chesed now, it's a concern. It's a type of anxiety. If I don't do it now, maybe I won't get to do it. So therefore, I will do it now. Oh, I just took this anxiety, which is an emotion that overwhelms me many times, and I just redirected it. I pressed the redirect button. So that's telling us that you're ashrei, you're fortunate and happy if you are mefachei tamid. What does it mean? It means to take that innate fear that people have, that anxiety and that worry, and to utilize it, to harness it for positive, for projects of Torah. My Rosh Hashiva Rabbi Wein would always tell us, and we know what it says, Adam la'amal yulad, a person is born for toil and aggravation. Anybody who's aggravated and anxious and upset, that means you're on target. But ashrei mi sha'amala b'Torah. Fortunate, it uses the word ashrei there also, just like it says, ashrei adam mefachei tamid, ashrei adam, happy a person whose amal is in Torah. That means, ashrei ish sha'amala b'Torah, osanachas ruach liyotro, that person who toils in Torah, but also directs his or her anxiety toward Torah projects, institutions, tzedakah, chesed, and learning, of course, being the primary one, that person is fortunate. The person did not pulverize and obliterate the mida of pachad and yira, but redirected it and used it. And that's how it is with midos in general. We're supposed to harness them. That's where they're called midos. It's a measures. How much of it do I have? How do I use it? And when do I use it? So if anxiety is in my nature, I can channel it towards this positive energy of Torah. And that propels me forward instead of stunting my growth. So I am utilizing this thought, this Gemara Brachos, Daf Samach Amud Aleph, many times. And I have a kind of prescription. It's a self-prescription. When something starts to bother me, even if I'm exhausted from learning, my brain is tired. But if I begin to worry, I open up a sefer anyway, say, I will have pachad. What kind of pachad? Not fear of what's going to happen. Not fear that someone's going to give me a hard time. Not fear about money. Not fear about health. Not fear about relationships, but fear about Torah. I'll open up a sefer and say, I want to learn as much as I can. Because after 120 years, as it says in the Medrash Shohar Tov and Mishlei, there's a test on what I learned in the Emek Yehoshaphat, it says. And Hashem is going to give me a bechina. Oh, I can continue to prepare for that test. Baruch Hashem, I have something to occupy me. And my Rebbe in ninth grade, Rabbi Kassenstein, once told us, you have anxieties, you have crazy thoughts, you have worries, you have all different types of fantasies. We fill ourselves with Kedusha. Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid. And we're continuing with Bitachon. There's a very interesting discussion the Aruch HaTzaddikim have now. A new type of anxiety. This is the anxiety about Mashiach coming. But what is that supposed to mean? Am I anxious and afraid he's not going to come? Or am I anxious and afraid that he is going to come? Wait, Chas V'Shalom. Wait, hold on. How could you say that? Well, we know the Gemara Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis. We know that it says that when Hashem in the future is going to slaughter the Yetzirah. And again, there are those who explain. Yes, it says also in the Gemara Makos, it says, Mize ba me edom chamutz begadim. Hashem's clothes are bloodstained, kaviyachol, from having slaughtered the Sar Shal Esav, the Sar Shal Romi, the Samech Mem, a.k.a. the Yetzirah. Does that mean he's gonna pierce him with a sword? We know that it's a metaphor that when Mashiach comes and the Beis Hamikdash is built, it will be so abundantly clear that the only course is to serve Hashem. That's what it means, that the Yetzirah will be slaughtered. Now, why am I talking about Mashiach now? Because it has to do with Bitachon. The Aruch HaTzaddikim tells us, does a person need to have Bitachon that Mashiach is going to come in his lifetime? Yes, that is HaBitachon HaShvi. And we're going to discuss, why do we need Bitachon about this? I can tell you right now, for some people, changes are hard. And I am allowed to admit that I do have some uneasiness about how it's going to be when Mashiach comes. We are not embarking on a study of how is it going to be when Mashiach comes. We know there's plenty of Gemara about that. There are psukim, there are midrashim, there's the Rambam himself, who says in Hilchos Malachim that it doesn't bring us to much Yiras Shemayim and Avas Hashem to delve too deeply and too broadly into that topic. That is not supposed to be a focus in our curriculum regularly, but it certainly does come up. So what if a person is uneasy about Mashiach coming, or a person is worried, maybe I will never see Mashiach? We're going to have all different types of anxiety and apprehension. So the Aruch HaTzaddikim tells us, let's try to navigate this labyrinth of thoughts that are often contradictory. Mixed feelings. HaBitachon HaShvi'i, the seventh type of trust, the Yiftach Al Hamelech Malchei Hamlachim, that one should trust on the King of Kings, Amosel Al Kol, who rules over everything. Sheyavi V'yamav Teshua L'Yisrael. V'yamav, it's supposed to be that a person has bitachon, that Hashem will bring salvation to Klal Yisrael in the person's lifetime. I'm supposed to have that bitachon. Imagine if everybody put their resources together, their mind, their hearts, their emotions together, their spiritual, emotional energy, and all trusted in Hashem. Yes, Mashiach will come in our lifetime. Who knows what we could accomplish if we really had that full bitachon. Bichon in Yerushalayim. And also the person should trust in Hashem. And again, the Aruch HaTzadikim says, Sheyivtach, that the person should trust in Hashem about this. He will establish the city of Yerushalayim, really establish it, really with the Beis HaMikdash. V'yivneh Beis HaMikdash v'yomav. And Hashem will build that Beis HaMikdash in the person's lifetime. And I know what's going through your mind. Yes, it says in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and the Gemara in Sukkah talks about the topic in Menachos that the Mikdash Shlishi is Bonoi Umeshuchlo. Rashi and Tosfo say the Lashon. It's built and completed in the sky. It's going to come down from heaven. Mikdash Hashem Konenu Yodecha. Your hands have established it. We said that in Oz Yashir. And that's why it says in the Gemara in a slightly intricate discussion, Mehera Yabana Beis HaMikdash. Now the Rambam, of course, says that the Mashiach will build it. And that will be one of the expectations for him to prove that he's really Mashiach. And in fact, there are other Rishonim as well who argue on the simple pshat of Rashi and Tosfos, and they hold that no, it has to be built by human hands. I've seen a sefer that synthesizes both approaches, but that's not what our topic is. Our topic is the fact. The Yivne based Hamikdash B'yomav. The Aruch HaTzadikim tells us that a person's bitachon list needs to have this in the content. And this is one of the bitachon types we have, is that Hashem will build the Beis HaMikdash in the person's lifetime. So then the person might say, well, why do I want the Beis HaMikdash to be built? What kind of question? Is that heresy, Chas V'Shalom, to ask such a question? Sometimes the Eitz HaRa tells us we're comfortable. And change, I'm worried about change. Oh, such a drastic change. Suddenly, and this is how we picture it sometimes, suddenly it's going to be, oh, the resurrection of the dead. And it's going to be, we're going to be like flying somehow, and everything's going to be supernatural, sublime, esoteric, unreachable in our minds. Take a deep breath and remember that there are actually three future time periods. This is all based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Perek Selek, and other Gemaras, Midrashim, Psukim. The first future time period, which will be hopefully very soon, is called Yemos HaMashiach. The second one is called Olam Haba / The third one is called Yemos HaElef Hashvi, the days of the seventh millennia. If you want to see a splendid summary of these three time periods, we look in the Siddur Otzer HaTfilos, Shabbos Mincha. Did we all realize that at Shabbos Mincha, there's a hint to all three future time periods? It is so surgically precise in the Nusach HaTfilah. Let's look at this for a moment. It says, Hashem, you are one and your name is one. Who's like B'nai Yisrael? And then it starts the hint to the future time periods. Not so subtle. Tiferes Gidulah. There's glory of greatness. What is that time period? The Iyun Tefillah explains that alludes to the Yemos HaMashiach, the first one. Bateres Yeshua, Shabbos Mincha, we're looking at now. And there's a crown of salvation. That is the second time period. That's the revival of the dead, also known as the world to come. And the third one is Yom Menucha U'Kedusha. It's a day of rest and holiness. That's going to be the third future time period. Yemos HaElef Hashvi, the days of the seventh millennium. We are not exploring the second and third today. We're only looking at the first one. And if you look in the Iyun Tefillah, you might say, why am I learning Bir HaTefillah right now? It has everything to do with Bitachon, because the Aruch HaTzadikim is going to refer to certain aspects and qualities of life that will exist in the first time period. And he tells us we need to have Bitachon, that this is going to happen in our lifetime. So look at the Iyun Tefillah. What is it supposed to be like then? By no means is this an in-depth study, and it is not meant to be. It's almost like cliff notes, lahavdil, on how it's going to be in all three time periods. We're looking at the first one now. So the Iyun Tefillah tells us, I'm just telling you the direct English translation of the Hebrew text that I have in front of me. Tiferes Gidulah, glory of greatness. That is the first time period after Mashiach comes. We have found in the Gemara, says the Iyun Tefillah, Shlosha Zmanim Mischalfim, three times that will be changing, Lasid Lavo. They come and then they switch each one to the next one in the future to come. Hazman Harishon, what's the first one? Yemos HaMashiach. That's the days of the Mashiach, the Messianic era. That's the first of the future time periods, hopefully the near future. And here is the translation of the Hebrew that I have in front of me. About those years, about those days, Shmuel, who is the Amora in the Gemara, in Sanhedrin Sadi Aleph and Bay, said something that is disappointing to some people. Ein Bein Olam Hazeh, Limos HaMashiach, there is no difference between how it is right now and after Mashiach comes, Eloshibud Malchios Bilvad, except for the bondage of kingdoms. What does that mean? And by the way, this is the popular opinion that the Rambam favors, that in the first stages of the future, when Mashiach comes, there will not be drastic change. There will not be cataclysmic occurrences. It will be, we're going to have an autonomous Jewish society in Eretz Yisrael. And there's a machlokis among the Chachamim in Sanhedrin's Apsari tests, how long that first stage will last. Kama shtonim yari chazman hazeh, says the Iyun Tefillah. Rabbi Eliezer holds 40 years. I mean, the country of Eliezer, the first 40 are going to be just similar to how it is now, except, as you'll see, there will be some marked changes, but nothing overtly supernatural. According to Rabbi Lezman and Azariah, 70 years. And then there are other opinions of the Gemara too. How long the first stage is going to last? Again, in case you joined us in progress, you said, maybe I'm tuned into the wrong shir. I thought this is about bitachon. Of course it's about bitachon. The Aruch HaSiddiqim said, we need to have bitachon that the Mashiach is going to come and the Beis HaMikdash will be built in our lifetime. Well, we need to understand what the Aruch HaSiddiqim is referring to in a couple lines from now. So we're looking at this explanation in the Tefillah of Shabbos Mincha, which the Iyun Tefillah in the Siddur Osra Tefillos goes ahead and elucidates for us. So what will be with the Jewish people at that time? Yichyu Yisrael Chaye Am. We will live the life of a nation, really as a nation. Ochlim v'shosim u'smeichem. Eating, drinking, and rejoicing. Real food, though, in the beginning. Because as we know, people will still be born, people will still be mortal, but politically, as far as control and autonomy, self-rule, the decline, sharp decline of anti-Semitism, that's the difference. We're eating and drinking and rejoicing because it'll be like when it says Mishteh v'Simcha, with the defeat of Amalek and Haman in the Megillah. V'shalvas olam, with everlasting, indescribable tranquility, v'hashket u'bevitcha, with quiet, with peace, with serenity. U'melech ha-Mashiach yimloch aleihem, b'tzedek u'vemishor. That's why it's called Yimos HaMashiach, because we'll have a melech, and that melech will be, as the Rambam describes him in Hilchos Malachim, he'll be the political leader, he will be the military leader, the commander-in-chief, and of course, the religious leader of Klal Yisrael. He'll be ruling over Klal Yisrael with righteousness, the Mishor, with uprightness. There's a medrash that we used to do in Tehillim class that gives a slice of life in the time of Mashiach. In this time period, people, will they have disputes? Yes. Will people have disagreements? Will there be conflicts? Yes. Will we be learning Torah? Yes. Will we have to learn Shemiras HaMashtan and Bitachon? Yes. Will there be a solution that's smoother than today's solutions? Yes, because there's a medrash that explains the two litigants, the disputants, can take their judgment to the Melech HaMashiach to have it judged. And they find that the borders of Yerushalayim are full of gems. That's why it says, Hasam givulech shalom, it says in Tehillim. Hashem places your border a source of peace, because these two disputants can settle their financial argument that they have, their monetary dispute, by looking down and saying, hey, look at all these precious gems. Okay, case settled right here. I can compensate myself because the whole border of Yerushalayim is full of precious gems. That's a slice of life. On one hand, there's dispute going on. On one hand, there's still discord going on. On the other hand, the solution is right there. That's how the first time period is going to be. So look what it says here. Tiferes Gidula. We say it at Shabbos Mincha. That is the first time period. Because as the Iyun Tefillah explains, will be for greatness and for glory. Tiferes Gidula. Glory, splendor, and greatness. Neged kol agoyim. In front of all the nations of the world. No more terrorism. The Melech HaMashiach is going to be our Lochem, is going to be our military leader, the supreme military commander. And he's going to lead us in our wars against our enemies and defeat them. This is how it is in this first 40 years or 70 years or whatever you hold more, depending what your opinion is in that Gemara. Then finally, Oz Yapoch Hashem El Ha'amim, Hashem will turn to the nation, Safa Berurah, Likro Kulam B'Shem Hashem, Ul'avdo Shechem Echad, Sefania Gimel Tes. There will be unity among the nations also that we need to serve Hashem. Those are the developments of the first time period in a very much brief description. So the Aruch HaTzaddikim says, what am I supposed to think about that? So now, by the way, why would a person have anxiety about Mashiach actually coming? Because people have a hard time adapting to change. And if they realize that it is gradual, according to this shot, especially according to the Amora Shmuel, who said, "Ein bein olam hazeh l'mos ha-mashiach l'shivat malchios bilvad," it's just that we'll be prevailing over the exterior and interior forces that push us away from Hashem, which is anti-Semitism, and also the other type of external force, which is the desire and the tendency to assimilate, that will be on the decline, and also, of course, what's in us, the inside, the Yetzirah, because it'll become so abundantly clear that serving Hashem is the only way to go. Reminds me of the Gemara Brachos in the second parak, where the Chachamim would say certain tefillos after their Shemone Esrei, and one of them, the famous one, Mitzoneinu Lasos Ritzonecha, it's in the parak Hayakori Batorah, in the second parak in the Gemara Brachos, he would say, we want to do your will, Hashem. Mitzoneinu Lasos Ritzonecha, Omi Ma'ake. But who's holding us back? Se'or Shebe'isa, Yishibud Malchios, a lesson like that. That it's the yeast in the dough, which is our inner arrogance and our Yetzirah, that is an obstacle towards serving you, and also the external forces of the non-Jews, who either are anti-Semitic, or they're just so friendly to us that we assimilate with them. So those two forces that work against us, internal and external, they will be harnessed, and they will be subdued, and they'll be conquered during this first time period. That is something to look forward to. But people who are worried about drastic, sudden change, and honestly, let us be honest, we're allowed to say, I'm afraid of Mashiach coming. Oh, wait, what about the Gemara and Sukkah? You can't forget about that. Daf Nun Beis. It says that in the future, Hashem is going to slaughter the Tzahara, so to say. And remember, that says, Rishoyim, Nid Melahem, Rishoyim, they look back at the Yetzirah, they say, oh, it's just like a hair. I can't believe I wasted my life on this hair's breadth of an endeavor of following the Yetzirah. What about Tzaddikim? It says, Nid Melehem Kahor. It's like a mountain to them. And they're also crying. It says they're both crying. They're crying and saying, I can't believe I climbed such a mountain. It's absolutely incredible. What are they crying about? It's Shiloh in the Mefarshim. I just want you to know one of them, though. One of the Mefarshim says they're crying out of sadness, actually. What? They're sad that the Yetzirah is slaughtered? That now it's abundantly clear to serve Hashem? Yeah. They're a mountain climber without a mountain. So they have something to worry. They're worried that Mashiach's going to come because they can't show their allegiance to Hashem anymore. So it's the Chafetz Chaim said, that's a noble thought, but we have to look at the communal, global, cosmic benefit of Mashiach coming. So we shouldn't be sad and anxious ahead of time that the struggle against the Yetzirah is going to be diminished at that time. That's too selfish, even though it really is unselfish. But when you look in the scheme of things, we have to look at the greater good, which is that there'll be a Kiddush Hashem in the world. So those are some thoughts about what types of anxieties people might have. Then there's the people who just say, I invested so much in my house. Forget about houses. They're also something that's not permanent. What about the yeshiva? What about the yeshivas? They're all transported, because I'll say they'll be transported to Yerushalayim. What about my stuff, my gashmias things? Well, that's why we learn. It's a gradual transition from this world to Yemos HaMashiach, the first future state. So it's not necessarily like, oh, everything that is dear to me, even certain physical things, I'll just have to abandon everything. It's not necessarily that. It's the fact that we'll have control over those who try to destroy us from inside and from without. So the Aruch HaTzaddikim says, this bitachon is what I need to have, that it will happen in my lifetime. But the intention of the person's trust in Hashem, that he will bring Mashiach in the person's lifetime, should not be because kidei lichyos b'shalva gedola, in order to live in great tranquility. Now, I'm reading the Aruch HaTzaddikim now. The Iyun Tefillah that I read to you before echoes exactly almost the same words. There'll be tranquility because we won't have to worry about, no worries anymore about anti-Semitism. And also the Yetzirah that's inside me that makes me go away from Hashem, I'm not concerned about that either, because after Mashiach comes, that will be on the decline. It'll be eliminated. But the celebratory aspect of enjoying myself and feasting, says the Aruch HaTzaddikim, shouldn't be the reason that I hope for and believe in Mashiach coming. To live in tranquility, gedola, shalva gedola, kasher tia bayam mahem, as it will be in those days, as I mentioned before, we're celebrating the victory over the Yetzer Hara and over the nations who try to destroy us. And that's reason to celebrate. The food's going to be delicious. There will be food and drink. Berecho haperos atovos, to eat the delicious foods, belish tos yayin osis, to drink juicy, rich wine, which is true according to the Pshat I just told you. There will be the Gashmias. It's just that we'll be able to take that Gashmias, utilize it, sanctify it, and celebrate our victories over the forces of evil. But the Aruch HaTzaddikim says, that shouldn't be my main motivation. Boy, is that food going to be delicious. I wonder what's going to be on the menu. That's important, but it's not supposed to be the main objective of why I want Mashiach to come. So what is the main reason I want Mashiach to come? Says the Aruch HaTzaddikim, and this is part of my bitachon, that it's going to happen in my lifetime. Achtiyeh kavanas bitchono, the intent of the person's trust. What is the power plant? What's the motivating factor for wanting Mashiach to come? Sheyichyeh b'yamim mahem, that one will live in those days. Kedei la'avod habor yisparach, in order to serve the blessed Creator Hashem. Ki b'yamim mahem, because in those days, Yosir Hashem Yetzer Hara Milev Amo. Hashem will remove the evil inclination from the heart of his people. Even though the Yetzer Hara is good, it is our source of growth. It's a malach, as the Gemara Bava Basra says. It's the malach HaMavis, it's all one being. And it is to make us close to Hashem. But still, we don't always win. And as a nation, we don't always win. As a community, we don't always win. As individuals, we don't always win. Therefore, we want there to not be that Yetzer Hara ultimately. And everybody, young and old, small and big, will all know about Hashem. Mirat Hashem, when we continue next week, we're going to review this aspect of Bitachon. It's the seventh one, trusting in Hashem that Mashiach will come in our lifetime. And this Bitachon, he says, is essential as part of our shlemus, our perfection, and our growth in Bitachon. Mirat Hashem, will see a little bit more about the Bitachon and Mashiach coming, and then after that, move on to the next stage, which is the one after that, which is Olam Haba. Mirat Hashem, will continue next week. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a zechus to learn with you.